Do you want to learn how to invest, or are you an entrepreneur and want to build companies in the regenerative food and agriculture space? Or do you work in big ag and big food and want to really move the needle? We have developed a new video course for you. Find out more on investinginregenerativeagriculture.com/course or in the show notes description below. Welcome to the wrap-up of the Regen Mind series, where Emma joins us one more time to share about her motivation for this series, her lessons learned, the themes that emerged, and of course, her surprises.
Thanks, Koen. It's great to be back, and this time in the hosting seat. Through 6 rich conversations with a range of guests, we're exploring the role of the mind. What mindset enables people to serve as regenerative leaders for a radically better food system? What are the common threads across these conversations? Well, we're about to find out. We're looking at regeneration from the inside out. This series is supported by our friends at Stray, who are exploring systemic investing with awe and wonder, as well as our friends at Mustard Seed Trust, who are enabling a transition to a care economy that fosters regenerative food systems. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope the conversations crack the door open for you and invite you to explore new ways of thinking and embodiment towards a regenerative tomorrow.
Welcome to a very special episode. I say that often, but in this case, it's absolutely true. It's the wrap-up of the Regen Mind series, and we have Emma Chow here with us and has been absolutely rocking it with 6 episodes. I mean, we were discussing this previously. We could do another 20, so if you feel called to help us make those, definitely reach out. But we've scratched the surface on the Regen Mind, and I'm very happy to have Emma here to share the journey and to share what we've seen, learned, surprises, and all of that. So welcome back, Emma, and welcome back in the sort of host / interviewee seat instead of the host seat only, which you've done for the last 6 episodes.
Yeah, thank you. I was about to say, it feels like a bit of a relief to be not fully, but almost in the guest seat. And as you were saying before we hit record, it's almost a year ago that the concept and idea for this, really the seed, was sown for the series. And it's wild to think that now it's all launched and this is our reflection episode. And there's been so much to unpack, and I'm sure we'll explore lots of it today. So happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a year ago, we had an open invitation with you. You joined us for the 200th episode of the podcast, where we also did a sort of dual interview. I interviewed you and you interviewed me about the journey until now. And I think after that, we said, okay, if you want to do anything on the podcast, feel free. And then you came back and said, I really want to do a series on the Regen Mind. And then we found some supporters, and shout out to Mustard Seed and Stray for making this possible. And then the journey started, like, I think just after summer, or even in summer, I think you started your first episode. So how was that switch from interviewee to host, first of all, like, apart from the technical things, but how was that, like, switching the seats? How did that feel?
It was easier than I expected, to be honest. I think maybe I was intimidated of a podcast format, which I'd never hosted before, but thankfully I've had enough experience in the panel hosting seat and do lots of research interviews, which is how I treated this. It's like, when it's not live, it almost feels, and it was a research project too, like, we're genuinely exploring what do people characterize the regenerative mind as, and all the way through I was synthesizing that. So it was incredibly diverse too, and really cool to look back and start to reflect on what were the patterns that were emerging and the surprising pieces and commonalities and just unexpected things that came along.
Yeah, it's funny because we sort of treat the podcast as well as public research. Of course, it's not live, but we always hardly any, like, at some point, we never really edit. So it's always the full interview, except for a few ahs and uhs and an internet connection that goes down. So it's really, yeah, the research calls, it seems one-on-one, but then there are 3,000 people listening to it at some point, which you should probably not remind yourself too much about. But it is, yeah, it's a research call that happens to be recorded. I think those are the best podcast formats in general. And so when you came to us, or came back to us, when we, with this project, what was the motivation, or what was your What was the reason you said yes, or you came with an idea or two to podcast, like, I would like to host a series? What triggered that?
Yeah, because there's a couple months in the gap between you giving that invitation of, hey, if you have an idea, you're welcome to come play host. And I sat with that and I felt like I was trying to force something. I was like, I don't actually have an idea. I'm just going to let it sit. I didn't think about it in an active way. And it feels fitting. I'm only realizing this now. It was like a weekend that I made a retreat for myself. And I was like, okay, 24 hours completely offline, just like journal, ideate, meditate, do some movement. And it was somewhere, I can't remember the exact moment, it was somewhere there that literally just in meditation, when my thinking mind had gone away, I just had this idea that came through. And
very fitting for a series. Laptop, yeah.
Very fitting, right? And I Googled and I was just like looking at Rajiv Mind, Rajiv Mindset, and they're just the little bits, but there's nothing explicit. And I knew listening to the podcast and being fortunate to be a guest as well, it's like mindset is threaded through all of it, but it hadn't been raised up as explicit. So that was one of the big things, is A, just to get, can we get a critical mass within the food system, and especially decision makers and those who are highly influential, to even acknowledge that the mind and the mindset plays a significant role? And then B, if it does, what are the qualities of those that we can say have a regenerative mind, are already embodying that, and are practitioners in food system and regenerative movement? And yeah, see what surfaces and see if we can characterize it.
So what surfaced? What were the main, of course, we're going to summarize a bit. I hope you all listened to the 6 episodes. If you haven't, scroll back and find them. But what were, yeah, the main, like synthesizers from the different episodes? Were super diverse: continents, countries, approaches, products, land or not. I mean, it was a wide range. And so I imagine it might be tricky to synthesize it at all, but if you had to, what would be a few nuggets, a few threads you've seen?
Well, when I was reflecting on this myself, this scene or like analogy came through, which is the mind is, coming back to soil, of course, the mind is the soil, and the quality of that soil is determining what the outputs, what you're going to produce, what plants, how the plants can flourish. And storytelling came up, and it's like stories are the compost that come and nourish and replenish the soil and allow those plants to grow, allow your garden to flourish. And in order to do that, we need to, and all of we are part of nature. That was a big piece, is we're not separate from, we're not above, we can't fix nature and control it. A regenerative mindset is knowing that we are part of nature. And this piece of interconnectivity came up in basically every conversation. And some people I loved used, again, coming back to soil, like thinking about the mycelium networks, and when we're carrying a regenerative mindset and embodying that, we can't help but see and think about all of those different intricate pieces that we're connected to and what our impact is, and like how we can activate those networks. Another piece was going from scarcity and fear to abundance. That was another one that came up in quite a few conversations. And then
yeah, very specifically, like, Calla Rose mentioned it a lot. Yeah,
she went.
We were doubting about a title as well there, but I don't think we put it in. And yeah, there was a, like, we wouldn't be able to heal, I think she said, I'm for sure butchering the quote, if there wasn't abundance. And that,
yes, yeah, the extent to which we're extracting from nature today as a species, if there wasn't so much abundance in nature, we wouldn't be alive.
Which gives a lot of food for thought, because we all have seen, to some extent, maybe some people more or less, the amount of extraction we do. Imagine the amount of abundance that there could be and there is to sustain it. Up till now, we're breaking. I mean, you see it everywhere, but it's still sort of like it's a miracle we're still alive.
Mm. Yeah. Which can give us hope. I think that was the thing too, is there's this realistic optimism and hope.
Yeah, it was not a doom and gloom series, that's for sure.
No, not at all. But still acknowledging the realities, right? And And it's easy to be discouraged, but there's such a solid foundation, I think, in their core, like in their value system, which underpins the mindset and then dictates like what their words and actions and intentions are going to be, and that that keeps them centered amidst all the chaos and everything that can be doom and gloom and suck you into it.
Yeah, and I find it fascinating as we're in a phase now, I feel, in the regenerative movement that, I mean, you see farmers going through that transition, and we do a farmer's philosophy series, and really, like, if you are on a journey, on a regenerative journey as a farmer, your mind has changed. Like, there's no way that that can be in the achiever mind only, as Jesus liked to say. Like, there has to be quite a fundamental change. But as there's so many other people now coming into this space, investors, entrepreneurs, people that are not necessarily running farms or are day-to-day dealing with trees, animals, and sort of forced to change their mind, like, there needs to be a discussion, which is exactly this. Like, what kind of mindset is needed to be active in the regenerative space? And as we're not forcing them to have that mindset because they're farming, like, what should investors, of course, there are a lot in nature, but in their ivory tower, in their shiny offices and air-controlled, heated, etc. And what should entrepreneurs that are maybe a bit more distance from the land, like, how can they start cultivating their regenerative mind? Like, what are places to, apart from listening, what are places to go to? What are places to start cultivating that? Because it's fundamental. I think that's the underlying message as well from this series. We can't escape that. Like, there's no way the conventional, traditional, whatever mind, how do we want to call it? Like, we're going to be successful in regeneration if we don't have a mindset shift.
Yeah, it all starts there. And that was mostly the hypothesis too.
And it starts there, or it comes over time? Like, if you hit a few walls, so you start thinking I need to change my mind.
Yeah, I think it can go in both directions. And I'm sure, you know, some have that tipping point where they hit a roadblock and then they choose a different direction. And others, that was interesting hearing people's stories, like what provoked their own regenerative mindset shift, or was it something innate that they were born with? And many people spoke to specific events or a lot about nature, like looking at their childhood and looking back and saying, yeah, I grew up in nature. And then they kind of came back full circle later on. They might have gone off the path and worked in a different way, a more conventional way, and then something tipped them back.
And I remember one guest sharing about, like, it's not a linear journey. Like, you go from extractive to maybe sustainable, and then want to go to regenerative. But there's a big, and we've done we opened Nexus together a few months ago, and you've shown that slide as well. Like, there's a big piece there, like a metamorphosis, or there's a phase change.
Yeah, yeah.
That, like, let's not underestimate that. Like, what, let's say, what did you learn on that, or what did you take away from that piece?
I would say, and that's that piece, if people haven't listened, is know what we're talking about. It's detailed in a great way by Giles Hutchins, who's behind that amazing diagram that I think was in the show notes of that episode. And it can be a very intense period. It is unpredictable in terms of how long it can be. Like, for some people, it can be overnight. You know, some event happens and it wakes them up and they think in a different way. They see the world in a different way. And for others, it can be years, and it can be this back and forth, almost like a regression, because you go back into the achiever, the default mindset, and then it's work, like it's practice to constantly, with discipline, come back to, oh, what's the regenerative approach to seeing this?
And so what were other themes we haven't discussed yet, but like themes that came up that you felt, and we'll get to the surprises later, but that came up and really came up strongly when you were looking back before recording this, that really things that popped up for you?
Having increasingly greater capacity to hold and lean into complexity, which of course entails systems thinking, which is essential for systems change. That we don't focus enough on the mind. I asked many of the guests, do you think we focus on it and just to make it really concrete and explicit. And they said, no, it's often just cast over and pushed to the side and underplayed, but actually this is of essential importance. And often when I asked, you know, what are practices or what would you suggest listeners to do, it was offering an invitation to do very simple things of going out into nature. And it doesn't need to be off to a forest hours away from a city where many listeners, I'm sure, live, but even connecting with a plant in your house or a tree and like watching it over time. That was something that Jessica Hutchings offered as a practice, like go and visit it every day. Can you do that for a year? And you will see the intelligence of nature. Like you will see how everything's always changing, and you'll also start to see the relationships, and you'll see cycles of death and renewal. And that was a pattern that came up in many people's stories, was somehow having to let go and let a part of them die, an identity, a job, a way of viewing the world, to create space to allow something else in. And maybe it wasn't always allowing something new in, but the theme of remembering came up a few times too, which I think gives me some hope as well, because it's not something we have to go outside of ourselves to chase after, but actually it's about coming in and distilling the stuff we don't need anymore and remembering.
And what were big or small surprises you've noticed or seen, like going through these 6 hours, let's say, plus of content, of audio, of conversations? What were your biggest surprises?
So I specifically chose language when we were crafting the description of this and all of it to make it what I thought would be as accessible as possible. And mindset was language that, at least in my experience, seemed accessible enough, especially for those in corporate or more conventional streams. And I was surprised by how quickly many of the guests challenged the language of mindset and mind, and they jumped to consciousness. And they were saying, it's not the brain. It's not like, yes, that plays a role, but actually what we need to do is to elevate our consciousness. And so I was surprised by how their level of consciousness and how quickly we would pivot or jump up in a way and relate to that.
Did that make it less accessible, you think?
I was worried about it in moments. I mean, I'm curious to hear from listeners, because I know that there's people in all aspects of the journey. And I guess there's a bit of fear in me that consciousness, especially if you just drop into an episode and you hear that in a couple, and you're like, oh, a couple minutes, and you're like, oh, what is this? I don't understand it. So I think it's important when we have these discussions, especially when we're talking about it, because that was something that came up in all of the conversations, was a lot of these learnings isn't coming through by reading or speaking about something. It's from firsthand experiences. So I think that's where podcasts and things like this can offer a great entry point if it's done well. And as you know, I'm a big believer in the power of firsthand experiential learning. And other surprises, I think, would just be, I mean, this is a really good one, the positive receptivity, because, I mean, of course, this is the first time hosting a podcast of this nature. So I didn't know if people would be into it, if they'd be willing to dedicate their time to talk about something like the mind. And everyone was super enthusiastic, to the point that, as you mentioned in the beginning, we have a overflow of potential guests, which I think is a really great issue to have. It's not an abundance. Issue at all. Abundance, yeah. And just even like, thank you to any listeners who've commented on posts on LinkedIn or sent messages, because you never know when you're recording these behind the screen how it's going to land. And at points I was quite nervous about things or where a conversation was headed. And I think I was surprised by how positive and I guess valuable. It's not like about just, oh, this is great. It's like, oh, I actually got something from this. And people have said they're going to use this at the start of a workshop or like as a pre-exercise for something to prime people. So yeah, I think that's just relating to our hope of creating some tangible impact in the world as a result.
Yeah, definitely let us know, listeners, if, I mean, we always like to hear any feedback, constructive feedback, but also if this has meant something to you, if something has changed, if whatever feedback, experiences, stories to share, please reach out. The easiest way is through the website or answer on LinkedIn or send a message somewhere on any of the social media, because we always like to hear that in general. And I mean, from the podcast side, we're of course very happy that people are listening and it's a new voice, which is which was scary, and to put that on, not because I really like my own voice, but we've until now only had me asking questions, and being able to shift that, and it creates honestly opportunity and freedom and ways to think differently about this platform as well for us, which is really nice. But it was an experiment, and I mean, you all listeners have listened, which is great, and are still listening to the episode, which is amazing. So definitely let us know what you thought, felt, what has something shifted. Were you on a long walk somewhere when you listened to this, or absolutely not? That could also be the case. Always happy to hear where people are listening and what the content or the audio and the stories has done. And then for people that want to, or do you have other surprises? Sorry.
I was just, something just came to me. I was also suggest, with a topic of this nature, play around with re-listening to it in 6 or 12 months' time. Because when we're talking about the mind or consciousness, like a lot of the stuff, maybe you've never heard, Giles Heston speaks about like the field, and I made him define what that means, because I'm sure for many people it's like, what? I know a grass field, but what do you mean the field? And maybe that washes over you, and that's not something that you're meant to receive right now. That's not valuable to you. But maybe in your evolution, a year, 2 years' time, it might hit. So you might want to experiment. I've done it before, and I find that I learn something new, like something sinks in and metabolizes in a different way, and it clicks something later on.
Yeah, that's a very good tip. Like rereading a book or revisiting pieces, you will take something else out of it probably in 6 months, a year, 2 years' time. And what I found fascinating, how many times guests mentioned science, like the cutting edge brain science now says da 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 da, like the cutting, like constantly that sentence came up again and again. Now it's said by science, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which I think shows how much we don't know yet as well, and how much we're looking like in actually the functioning of the brain and what it's able to do, the connection to the rest of the body, your gut, the connection to the rest of the world around you, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was mentioned quite a few times. What we now know, we already knew it, but now it's confirmed in a peer-reviewed paper, so now it's real. And so that was quite interesting.
That growing credibility.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it, I liked how it was mentioned in a couple conversations. I know for sure Cal Rose and Jessica Hutchings around the intuitive knowing and putting that on par with the scientific knowing, because our scientific studies can only scratch the surface on actually, you know, scientifically proving certain things that deep down we can know, or we do know at an intuitive basis. And I'm sure science will only continue to catch up in that way.
Yeah, which I think there's a nice like connection there to the soil, where I think many farmers feel, and we've seen that with cutting edge scientists like Jonathan Ludgen and others saying, yeah, the most cutting edge science is happening on farms now. And we as scientists have to go there and catch up with that, because it's not happening in a lab. It's definitely not happening on farms of universities. It's happening at the edges of space, which are these farmers that are doing things that we don't think can actually be done, but we're seeing it. So we have to research it instead of the other way around. And also here, it feels like, yeah, the science is trying to explain something that people have already seen and explained maybe in different languages. Or in different ways, mm-hmm. in different stories for a long time in many cases.
And I think that, again, that growing scientific basis of credibility, which many people do need to satisfy the rational mind, which is so overly activated at the moment, right? So every person in a leadership position, at least that I've interacted with, their first question is like, give me the numbers, give me the proof. And that, I think, for me to come forward and even develop this concept with you and bring it to the world, the Conscious Food Systems Alliance, backed by the UN, was a big, you know, it was in our concept document. Yeah. And I'm so happy they could come to speak as well and speak a bit about the origins, because it's like, to have an organization like the UN, which has to have science that's leading on, which has to have credibility if they're going to create something that their name is behind, and for them to be doing the work that they're doing, and it's only in such early emergent stages too, it just felt like the right time to bring this topic forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that interview, I think they were also like a bit surprised the UN would be back something like that. And then at the same time, I think all the organizations that are working on this in this area were very happy to finally have a place to sort of like, okay, finally we can talk about consciousness. And finally we can talk about that connection to food, land and everything. And so that felt perfect timing. And then, yeah, this was, somehow with this podcast, we've been really good at timing, catching the regen wave in general, and just catching it further and further, let's say. And it's only been growing. It still feels like we're absolutely at the beginning, even though it's very different than 7 or 14 years ago when I started looking at it. It still feels very, very, very small when you compare it to the big outside world. But we're making progress. And so, where should people go that want to learn more? We got the same question at Nexus, actually. Where do you point people, apart from the interview series, but let's say that people have listened to that or are not into podcasts, where should people go to explore further, to dive deeper, to fall down a rabbit hole or two?
Well, I would say for sure double click on the guests in the episodes, because many of them, including Calla Rose, she has her own podcast, which is very educational. Giles Hutchins has incredible resources that I'm constantly tapping into, and they're endless. He's constantly writing. So I would start there, especially if you feel drawn, like follow your intuition, because there's so many directions you can go. And so just use that as a practice. You know, it's like, don't follow the reason, just follow your gut and your intuition. If you like a guest, like double click on their links, see if they've got resources, see who they resource, go to them. And I think from a like literature side of things, videos, learning, content, that's a great path. And at the same time, make sure you don't forget about the embodiment, because it's one thing to think something, to think in a regenerative way. It's one thing to speak in a regenerative way, read regenerative pieces, but it's another piece to behave in that way and to show up in that way. And that is often a gap that is, I know I'm constantly practicing and stumbling around and falling and picking myself up again every day. So see what practices, and you can start really small. You can start really small. Like, just again, what if we come back to the achiever mindset and starting to notice what are your patterns that are more extractive of yourself, of your own energy, of nature and the resources that we're in relationship with, the people around you, like start to expand your understanding of what a regenerative mind and regenerative way of life existence is in your own life. And then if you're fortunate enough to work in a business that has some role in food and agriculture, like pick one project. How do you start to bring that kind of mindset to it? And I've found Carol Sanford's work quite helpful, again, as a starting point on like regenerative business. There's the Regenerators cohort that's actually, I'm not sure when their deadline to apply, but you can always look for future years. And that's a year-long journey with Laura Storm, and that's all about regenerative leadership. And if you're really in the finance side of things, I think they bring in some of the embodiment too, is the Capital Institute's Regenerative Economics course as well. Those are my initial thoughts. There's so many directions.
Yeah, and I think the first sentence there you mentioned is fundamental. Follow the thread that pulls most, and just keep pulling and keep following it. And
yeah, follow the energy, because there's so many angles and we all have a role to play, and none of us can be everything. So it's like in this big system, this big web that we're part of and weaving, what little piece that actually becomes a lot when we put it all together do we play and focus on. So yeah, follow the energy and let go of the shoulds. If you have a tendency of like, I should do that course, I should speak to that person, stop yourself, pause, take a breath, come out of scarcity, fight or flight mode, and sit with, who do I actually want to engage with? What do I want to read? What is nourishing me and giving me more energy than it's taking?
I think that's a perfect way to wrap it up. And thank everybody for coming on, first of all, on the podcast as interviewee, and of course, for everybody listening to this one and all the others, or if you listened only to 2 seconds of one of the episodes, I hope it meant something to you. I hope it helped you to move forward, to move deeper, to move backwards, whatever fitted at that time. And of course, I want to thank you, Emma, for hosting here with us and taking the hosting microphone and seat in our virtual studio. Unfortunately, no fancy studio yet, but it will come at some point. But in our virtual studio to take the mic and be the first other voice on this podcast and doing that amazingly well. So thank you so much for doing that and coming here to share about the journey.
Well, thank you for taking a risk. I'm sure it was scary. And I was a little scared. I was like, don't mess this up. So I'm glad so far, so good. And yeah, I'm curious to keep hearing, receiving people's thoughts, feedbacks, what clicked for them, what they still have questions about. And who knows what's to emerge in the future on this topic, but I'm glad we could do this and for the support that we've had along the way. So thank you.
I've heard stories about maybe we should do a book and maybe some, there are some ideas left and right. So let's see, this probably is not the end of this journey specifically, but for now we've done 6 episodes and a wrap up. And so we will wrap it up here and leave people to go on with their day. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end. For the show notes and links we discussed in this episode, check out our website, investinginregenerativeagriculture.com/posts. If you like this episode, why not share it with a friend or give us a rating on Apple Podcasts? That really helps. Thanks again and see you next time.